Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 53.
Of the Vancouver Canucks, Bo Horvat.
Bo Horvat, hey.
Number 53.
This is for you.
Forward.
Horvat. Yeah, he's the man.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's the future, man.
Fuck the Canucks.
Yeah. Right on.
Trash talking right away.
Yeah, there you go.
Go Red Wings, baby. You're not even a Canuck fan anymore, dude.
I'm not a hockey fan anymore.
Yeah.
They lost me with the lockout.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple years.
The thrill is gone.
The thrill is gone.
Yeah, so, ever since the last episode, Euro 2016 has been kind of breaking our hearts, right?
I don't even know if I can talk about it yet.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I've been watching England for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Qualifying for this fucking tournament.
Yeah.
And they shit the bed.
Oh yeah,
I could have coached that team better.
Totally.
And I don't have experience.
Yeah.
And does FIFA count? Like,
yeah, yeah. And we're not just talking. You watch all the games, and a lot of that involves not only just a time commitment, but we live in Canada, so you're waking up at 4 or 4:30, 5 in the morning to watch some of these games, and it sucks.
So England lost to Iceland.
That's right.
In the biggest upset in European Cup history. Biggest upset ever.
Yeah.
Iceland has 180,000 people in their entire country.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Brutal. Yeah.
I am so angry.
Yeah.
Like, I just sat there staring at my screen. Like, I was just so done.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you.
I can't even talk about it. Yeah. Seriously, I'm so frustrated.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move to the next topic of conversation, which is Overwatch on PS4. If you're listening and you have a PS4 and you play Overwatch, hit me up. My PlayStation ID is The Crow Show. And that's TheCrowShow. The Crow Show.
Game's still good?
It's awesome.
Nice.
I'm having so much fun. Like, I have a regular group of guys to play with, and it's the most fun when I'm playing with them. But I can jump on solo and still have some fun. Not as much, because, you know, sometimes you get stuck with a bad team. But, yeah, having a blast.
I have so many games that I haven't played that I've told myself I'm not going to buy another game until I finish those games.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is a smart thing.
Yeah.
Until a really big game comes out and I have to play it. Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, that's right around the corner, isn't
it? Yeah. September.
Did you pre-order?
Second day of the diff.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yes, my most anticipated video game of maybe all time comes out on the second day of VIF.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So I got to wait 15 days to play it.
That's crazy, man.
That festival is 16 days long.
Yeah, that's right. It's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just around the corner, festival season.
Getting there.
Yeah. What about you, other than what we've discussed so far?
I got a few things.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin.
Oh, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
That one sucked.
That stung.
Obviously, you've probably seen him in Green Room.
Yeah, Green Room.
But he had a lot of other good films, too.
Yeah.
You texted me between screenings. I was seeing 3 movies that day.
Oh, yeah. I figured you probably heard. I didn't know.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I'm like, shit, I got to watch a movie now. This is super sweet. But yeah, this is a completely stupid thing. You know, turns out his car might have been recalled, and that's why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ. It's terrible.
It's an avoidable.
Yeah.
Accident.
And he was already good, and he was just coming into his prime. He was only going to get better.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, once again, we get robbed of some great performances.
Yeah.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
People like that. Just stuff that could have been avoided.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does. Yeah, he made films like Odd Thomas and Fright Night. Films that probably had no business having a fair amount of quality, but his work really elevated those films. I really quite enjoyed both of those films.
I like Fright Night quite a bit.
Yeah.
On the night that he died, I watched Like Crazy.
Okay.
Which I think is criminally underrated.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a really good movie.
Okay.
With Felicity Jones and Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
Love Triangle.
Oh,
good
I
stuff.
See.
Bring it back up a notch.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, Game of Thrones.
Holy shit. Game of Thrones, dude. So it's over now this season.
Oh, dude. There should have been a title card at the end of the show that said, see you next year, fuckers.
Yeah. Peace out, bitches.
Holy crap, man. the Battle of the Bastards episode.
Yeah.
Didn't think it'd get any better than that.
That was a beast.
And then they raised the bar.
They one-upped themselves.
Like, they answered questions that everybody needed answers for and threw some more stuff in there for you to think about. And holy crap, man.
Yeah.
That might be the best show. Two shows in a row that I've seen maybe ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had three in a row that were kind of story building.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, oh, come on. And then boom.
Yeah. I was that guy. I was like, come on, get it on. I was impatient. I fully admit that.
Anybody who thinks that television is not on par with movies has not seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, totally.
Or Breaking Bad or whatever.
The Wire.
These are just... Yeah. Heads and tails. The Battle of the Bastards was better than anything I've seen in a movie this year, probably.
Yeah, that the battle sequence alone was like all time in terms of what we've seen on screen.
Yeah,
whether it's TV or movies, and that's putting like Braveheart up there, all of that, and classic war films, and it was amazing. It had a lot of emotion behind it.
And then the next week, the opening 15 minutes of this week's Game of Thrones is the best thing I've seen this year.
Nice. Yeah.
Period. Television or movies.
Yeah.
It is executed flawlessly.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. My jaw was on the ground, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like giggling and laughing and just having a blast during that whole sequence.
Yeah. I'm just like, how are they going to... Oh, crap. They just one-upped it.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. They did it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
Oh, totally.
And then... the super amazing finale of Silicon Valley.
Oh, dude.
So good.
That's such a great show.
Oh, man. I am so sad that these shows are done.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really big hole in my life right now.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley. Like, yeah, Silicon Valley, they've just been, like, raising the bar constantly and just improving every year and giving these characters that are... they're sitcom characters, right? But they're... adding layers to them. Like this season, we saw Guilfoyle become like, we see like his true dark side this season. That's always been there, but you get to see more of it. That was awesome.
And the kind of tragicness of Dinesh.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and you feel bad for him.
And Jared pretty much being the best character on television.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I freaking love that show, and I'm really going to miss it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, couple weeks, baby. Mr. Robot.
Oh, that's right.
Bring it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I may have to rewatch season one before that.
It's not a bad thing, man.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple other things.
Cool, yeah.
Today would have been Krzysztof Kieslowski's 75th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to my favorite filmmaker of all time.
Right on.
Made my favorite films of all time, the Three Colors trilogy. And speaking of that, what I think is his second best film, plural.
Okay.
The Decalogue, coming out in September via Criterion.
Nice.
Fuck yes.
Nice, man.
Oh,
right on.
I've been waiting for this forever.
Nice.
I can't wait.
That's cool, dude.
It's 10 parts.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Really?
I had a really crappy DVD copy of it like 10 years ago, but the subtitles were out of sync.
Oh,
so
damn.
It was pretty much impossible to watch.
Yeah.
But I still watched it like 4 times.
Sweet.
I love it.
Nice, man.
So yeah, Criterion once again killing it.
Yeah. They've got some great titles coming up.
Yeah, they also announced the Joel and Ethan Coen film Blood Simple.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and
that's
they got New film. World coming out in a couple weeks.
That's
my favorite Terrence Malick film.
Nice.
Can't kill Criterion, man. They just keep on rising.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's definitely be taking a... the wallet will be definitely taking a hit there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not like we're both going to be spending a ton of money in a couple of months.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's it for me, man.
Cool, man. I guess we can get on with the show.
Lots of shit.
That's right. Lots of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can get into the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie related. For me, it's usually about social media. Why don't you kick things off for us, Bill?
So last episode, in our lightning round, I reviewed the new Raiders documentary, which I was kind of iffy on. Wasn't really a fan. Didn't think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was terribly great either. I thought I was the only person who didn't like this film. Turns out I'm not.
Right.
The Movie Bears podcast guys didn't like it either. And a really prominent film critic, online film critic, Drew McQueenie from HitFix, probably one of the two biggest online journalists, I would say.
Oh, totally.
Him and Faraci,
yeah.
I would say. And I had a real problem with his review. He didn't like the film, and he knew that people around him would be pissed off. So he put a disclaimer pretty much at the beginning, apologizing for not liking the film.
Yeah.
Because he thought he would piss his friends off.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's not cool.
You shouldn't have to do that.
No.
Drew McWeeny is a good critic.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to defend his freaking reviews.
Yeah, and I read that review, and it was really well written, as always. He's one of the few that I will absolutely read his stuff.
I have a real problem with the fact that he has to do that. Like, he's paid his dues.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And whatever his friends think, screw them.
Exactly.
Tell the truth, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I say.
That's all I got to say.
Right on, rant man. Good rant. Good rant. Mine is, I'll be treading on familiar territory. I'm here to talk about hashtag film Twitter. Remember when Finding Dory got announced a couple of years ago? Everybody freaked out. Oh, we don't need a sequel. Oh, going to kill my childhood. Dory doesn't need a sequel. All of these pre-written responses that people have to every sequel that's announced from their stupid childhood because they're idiots and can't open their minds to the idea of something new and refreshing that could be successful. So I reserved my judgment until I saw the film, and you're going to find out very soon. I quite enjoyed Finding Dory, and I didn't really have a reaction either way. I was just like, hey, I'll give it a chance, and turns out I had a really good time, so... To the hashtag film Twitter, calm the fuck down. You guys are ruining my fun. Give films a chance once they're finished, then judge it. Don't be idiots. Rant out.
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me every episode. I just need to quit Twitter.
Pretty much.
All right. All right, with that out of the way, we can move on to our first review. Let's talk about Finding Dory.
Oi, you two! Shut it!
Yeah, we're trying to sleep! And you interrupted my favourite dream!
Is that the one about you laying on this rock?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a good one.
Oh, yeah,
it's one
it?
Of my
yeah.
favourites.
Excuse us!
Son,
hello!
Son, we're trying- These are sea lions. They are natural predators. They could pounce at any moment.
They don't look very pouncy.
That's what they want you to think. Just get behind me and let me do the talking. Excuse me!
Finding Dory, what does IMDb have to say about this film?
Directed by Andrew Stanton and Angus MacLean, a friendly but forgetful blue tang fish begins a search for her long-lost parents. Blue yeah. tang.
Hey, all right.
Blue tang.
Blue tang. Yeah, the saga continues.
Who's Method Man in that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks. The most non-Method Man person in the world.
That's right. So yeah, Finding Dory. What a film. I really, like I hinted earlier just a few moments ago, I had a great time with this film. Loved it. It moved me. The film moves well. It's got a lot of energy. I had a great time. What did you think of it?
As I said last show, I wasn't really the biggest fan of Finding Nemo.
Right.
I'm the only one.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're the one.
Whatever. Don't care.
You're the one.
Don't care. I love this film, man.
Nice.
Mostly because there's a hook in the film that really got me. It's about Dory.
Oh, yeah.
And her problems.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really get into that spoiler.
Right.
But in the first 5 minutes of that film, they hooked me.
Oh, yeah.
I was so into this film because of that. Yeah. Yeah. And all, like, the situations that go around with that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a really great idea. Also, like, the fact that, what's his name, Marlin and Nemo?
Right, yeah.
Are side characters.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like that idea, too. I thought they were going to be front and center, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They're totally not.
Yeah.
This is the Dory story.
Oh, totally.
And guess what? Dory's got some pretty cool friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And those friends make the film for me, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's an octopus named Hank.
Oh, Hank is awesome.
So good.
Yeah.
Voiced by Ed O'Neill.
Yeah, that was a big shocker. I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, I didn't know it either. And he's just the grouchy, sarcastic guy of the film who keeps everybody grounded.
Yeah.
Because he's just kind of a dick. But
oh, totally.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I really liked Bailey the Beluga.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
that was cool.
The way that, like, the depth perception thing was hilarious.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Love that character.
Yeah.
I just, I think I was just really shocked at how much I actually did really like this film. I was expecting not to like it.
Oh, really?
I was thinking like, this is just going to be like Cars. No.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It totally is.
Shocked the hell out of me.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And echoing what you said, I enjoyed the beautifulness behind the messages that are buried in this film, whether it's subtle or over the top with what they're trying to say about Dory and the challenges she has to face day to day. I was really quite moved by that because, you know, it's a movie that's aimed towards families, and this is an opportunity for children to learn and have fun while they're doing it, and just learn that some of us are built differently, and that's fine. It's just the way it is in life. And the importance of friendship, like the friendship between Hank and Dory was just something I did not see coming. I was very, very moved by everything they did together. I was, you know, went through the gamut of emotions during this film. It's so good.
Did Adrian cry?
I did.
Oh!
Yeah, there was a bit. I'll tell you later.
Bill did not cry.
Okay, all right. So yeah, love this film. And one thing I did want to mention, I think it's worth mentioning because, hey, we're a podcast, and part of what we do here is kind of educate the everyday moviegoer. Do you remember, was it 2 years ago maybe, the filmmakers and the writers came out and said that they actually rewrote some of the movie because of the movie Blackfish?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, it was a documentary about Tilikum, the orca that killed three people. It was about captivity, you know, whales and tanks and gross stuff.
Which makes sense now that we've seen the film.
Yeah, and now that we've seen it, you can see those fingerprints in the film, and I think it's a better movie for it.
Oh, totally.
If they had a bit with an orca in a small tank and stuff, that would have been kind of gross. So I think that's really amazing. That's just power of the Blackfish effect. I like that. I just wanted to mention that.
I also wanted to throw out the name Andrew Stanton.
Okay.
One of the co-directors.
Yeah.
Remember his last movie?
I don't.
John Carter.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I enjoyed that movie,
really?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
That movie blows.
I had fun with it, man.
Oh, such a terrible film.
So much adventure.
So it was a complete flop, and it died a really painful death. And
it did.
I guess he came back to this, and this is a freaking victory for him, man.
Totally.
I love the animation.
Yeah.
Holy crap, the animation is great. And speaking of the great animation, that short...
Oh, before dude, it yeah.
Is photorealistic.
Yeah.
It's called Piper.
Yeah.
It is, I thought it was freaking like HD video.
Yeah.
It's amazing looking.
Yeah.
It's a really good short, too. It's super fun.
Yeah, it carries a punch, man.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Like, seriously, it came on the screen. I'm like, this is supposed to be a Pixar short. This isn't supposed to be real.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost looks like live action.
Yeah.
And Piper, I actually did a tear or two came out of my face just because it made me so happy. So, yeah. Adrian did cry at the short as well.
Again?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
Nice.
It was a full weekend of me crying.
So, yeah, color me surprised on this one, man.
Wicked,
one of the shocking films of the year for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wasn't expecting much from it, and 5 out of 5.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I love this film.
Right on.
It's a beautiful film, man.
Yeah. I'm not quite as high on it. It probably loses like half a point for me, just because at the end I thought it lost a tiny bit of momentum. But that's just a minor nitpick, like... it's the only thing keeping it from 5-star for me.
So mean.
So mean. That's right. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Man, that's still a really good rating.
Totally.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But this was a complete shock and surprise for me.
So right on, dude.
That's why I think I'm giving it the perfect rating.
There you go.
I probably shouldn't have liked this one.
That's right. Yeah, you didn't like the first one.
No,
what up with that?
I am that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a beautiful film.
Yeah, and what a perfectly titled movie, too. Right,
totally.
Like it's the perfect title for that movie.
The cool thing is that everybody I've talked to has loved it too, and it's making a ton of bank.
Yeah,
so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's great and good for the cast. You know, Albert Brooks, Ellen DeGeneres. I'm happy for her. I love her voiceover work. So, yeah.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. And a cool bit from we won't name the actors just in case people haven't seen it yet. But there's two actors who have a cameo in the film, and they just steal the show when they show up. I had a blast with those characters.
You'll recognize one of the voices right away.
Yeah.
Very, very distinct voice. But yeah, that's good stuff too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, big recommendation. Go see Finding Dory if you haven't already. Go see it twice. well, let's move on to another. Wow. As I flip through the pages here, this is going to be like a pretty solid review section for us, right?
I think so.
It's been a while since we've had a show where we really enjoy it.
This might be, not that I'm giving away my ratings, but this might be the only time this has ever happened. I'm going to say that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Something's going to happen here.
That's right.
And it's going to be magic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Okay, well, let's move on to our next review. Let's talk about Everybody Wants Some.
So before we even start this clip, this movie came out 4 months ago.
That's right.
And we just saw it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that pisses me off about it. The day after we saw it in the theater, it came on iTunes.
That's right.
We waited for 4 months.
Yeah.
And then it came on iTunes.
Came out on digital.
Damn it. Yeah. I hate living in a small town.
That's right. But, and between four of us, we spent $35 on tickets or something that. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's linked later.
Continue on with the clip.
Right on, dude.
First time wearing cologne?
No.
Get it on there, man. Get it under your arms and on your chest. Just put it on your neck. Come on.
I don't know, man. Too much of this smells like cat piss.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to help you out and you're going to question me?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, man. Chicks dig this shit. All right? You can come back here. Do the five-knuckle shuffle all night if you want to. I don't really care.
What's the five-knuckle shuffle?
Jesus, freshman. Figure it out, man.
You're so fucking desperate, dude.
Desperate for pussy?
All right, Everybody Wants Some. This is from one of our favorite filmmakers, Richard Linklater. What does IMDb have to say about this film?
A group of college baseball players navigate their way through the freedoms and responsibility of unsupervised adulthood.
Yeah. Right on.
Fuck, I'm so happy we finally got to see this.
Me too, man.
I thought this was going to be the hole in my midway list.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't playing here.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't play here. But the day before it went digital, it played here.
But man, another knock out of the park, Richard Linklater film, man. This guy doesn't make shit.
Yeah.
He's batting 1,000 for me, pretty much.
Totally.
So I'm using a lot of baseball terms here.
Yeah. This is one we can get away with. This is a home run all the way.
Home run.
Pitch perfect.
Between, his last four films, he's totally hit for the cycle on this one.
Oh, totally, man. That's right. Yeah, man. He's rounding the bases at this point. He's just trotting out there. He did a bat flip on us.
I think you pretty much said it all in your Twitter review when you said he's just showing off nowadays.
Oh, totally.
The guy can do no wrong.
Yeah.
The weird thing about this film, for the first 20 minutes, I wasn't digging it at all.
Me too, man.
All the characters are misogynistic pricks.
I have in my notes here, it starts out like an 80s teen sex romp. And everybody
just wants to get laid.
Gratuitous nudity. And they're all just trying to get laid. And they're calling girls lesbians because they didn't want to hang out with them. Didn't they do that?
Yeah.
Other homophobic names they busted out. And then they start to turn a bit, right? You start to love these assholes.
Yeah. The thing about all these guys is that they come to this college as the big people in their hometown. They're like the big sports stars. And they're coming into this place and they're not very good anymore. Everybody else is better than them.
Yeah.
So they think that they are absolutely amazing and the world is going to knock them down. And that's what this film's about to me.
Oh, totally.
It's either going to be baseball that knocks them down or a really smart girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I should have thought better after that first 20 minutes because this is a Richard Linklater film.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's not going to do that for a reason. He's going to fix that.
Oh, yeah.
And man, did he fix it. Yeah. By the end of this film, I just wanted to hang out with these dudes.
Oh, totally.
And an hour and a half earlier, I hated them.
Yeah.
It's just in a complete about face. It's so well written.
Oh, yeah. I think that was almost a challenge for him, like a personal challenge to take despicable, gross characters and then make the audience love them by the end. And he was successful in that. If that crossed his mind, if that was part of his challenge.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are some people who I hate talking about other people's reactions on our podcast, but there were some people who talked about the women in the film and how they weren't represented very well. But I thought they were, that Linklater did empower all of them. You know, there were scenes where, yeah, they're hooking up with the girls, but the girls are doing that the exact same thing. They're out having a good time and trying to get laid.
There's a scene in the film where they go to this really artistic party and all the guys get destroyed by the women.
Yeah.
They're just so much better than them, and it is so apparent.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, that's really great, because these guys are just goofy guys trying to get laid, and they need this, because
yeah,
they're not going to be able to function in 3 or 4 years, because once they get out of college, they're going to be fucked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's another one of these great Richard Linklater films where people just have really amazingly weird conversations about drugs and music and women, and they go to a disco party, and then 20 minutes later, go to a cowboy party because the disco party wasn't enough women there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they go to a punk show. Yeah. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And to try to act punk, they wearing a duck feet necklace. And it's so weird and random.
You're like, what the fuck?
But it's a Richard Linklater film. I know this shit's going to work, and it totally does.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a greatest hits album of just the sets they go through and all the fun they have. And the characters, man, the characters are awesome. Like, I'm speaking about myself personally, and I'm sure if I have this reaction, the everyday moviegoer probably has the same reaction. I don't think I noticed a single one of the actors in anything else. Not to say that they haven't done work before, because I did look them up, and I was like, oh, he was in that. Oh, she was in that.
The main baseball guy with the mustache, he was in Teen Wolf, the television show.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
A show I'm really embarrassed to say that I watched.
Nice.
Continue.
Yeah. And yet, to, you know, take a group of, you know, quote-unquote nobodies like he did in Dazed and Confused, I thought that was remarkable. And they just had so much chemistry together on screen, all of them together. They really did feel like a team.
Yeah, just the weirdest things in this film, like people having like knuckle flicking contests.
Yeah.
So weird and random. Yeah. What the hell is that?
That's right.
There's this really weird pitcher named Raw Dog.
Raw Dog.
And he is like the most exaggerated character. And I'm just like, oh, he's so annoying.
Yeah.
But like everything else in the film, by the end, I was kind of down with him.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, Richard Linklater. You're so good.
Oh, totally. And all of the characters, and you talked about this briefly as well. I just wanted to talk about it as well, is that he still includes like life lessons in his script. There will be times when they slow it down just for a few moments, and one of the older players on the team tells the younger guy, like, just be yourself, man, and just have fun, and don't try to be somebody else. And I'm totally butchering his words and his message at this point. But I thought, yeah, man, like, I really wish I could take Linklater's films and give them to 13-year-old me and be like, okay, little dude, watch these movies and feel better about your future as it's happening, because everything will be okay.
Nah, man, I'm watching Star Wars.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, I love those, like, one of those little moments where he just feeds you just a little bit of his wisdom. It blew me away.
This is like Christmas to me, man. Every time there's a new Linklater film, I love these films.
Totally.
I love Richard Linklater. Really do. This is another 5 out of 5 from Bill.
Sweet.
I think it's definitely one of the best films of the year. I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah.
Guy never makes the same film twice.
That's right. That's
right. You know, there's a little bit of the sameness of between this and Dazed and Confused, but they're different films.
Way, way different.
Different films.
Different tones.
Yeah.
Different ages, different. Yeah, it's great. One thing I wanted to mention really quickly before we close this off. Did you know that one of the characters, the actress's name is Zoe Deutsch?
Deutsch.
Deutsch. Leah Thompson's daughter. Yep. I didn't know that. And Willoughby, his name's Wyatt Russell. That's Kurt Russell's son.
Yep.
I didn't know that. I was just like, whoa.
Talk about a character who has this amazing story arc, Willoughby.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That was so awesome.
So great.
Yeah.
I can't recommend this movie enough. Like, I think it's just a really cool film.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's like the definitive hangout movie.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
You know, some people don't do it once. He's now done it twice between this and Dazed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richard Linklater, man.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
I heard Boyhood's pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a great film.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, man. Cool. Anything else?
No, man. That's it for me.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next film. Let's talk about The Neon Demon.
She's just so beautiful. Don't you think that she's just perfect?
Is that your real nose?
Yeah.
God, life is so unfair.
Gigi just got out of the body shop. She's still a little sensitive.
You had work done?
You say that like it's a bad thing. Sweet, plastics is just good grooming. Imagine going a year without brushing your teeth.
The Neon Demon, Nicholas Winding Refn's new film.
Oof.
NWR.
NWR. As he has to put that in the opening credits.
Like, that's a right.
Complete idiot.
It's a douchey thing to
it's
do.
It's like the one thing I despise about filmmakers when they do that. They just don't self-promote yourself like that.
Yeah.
It's tacky.
I give him a pass.
NWR.
That's right. Stylish, Holmes.
No, it's not.
What does IMDb have to say?
It was a complete spoiler, so I rewrote something. Like, they gave away plot.
Oh, brutal.
It's terrible. A young model finds out how screwed up professional modeling really is. That's the Bill Harris, right?
There you go. Yeah. You should work for IMDb.
I should.
Straight to the point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Now, this is a goddamn film.
It's a monster, dude.
Holy shit, I love this film.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be for everybody.
Nope.
This movie hit my sweet spot. Holy crap, did it ever.
Yeah.
I was just stunned at how much I like this film.
Right on,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it is perfect.
Yeah.
Other than that credit thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really hard to argue with that.
It's the goods, man.
It is. It really is.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
We all knew Drive.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good stuff. I really love the Pusher trilogy. Only God Forgives. Liked some of it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's really great looking.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to piss you off at times.
Yeah.
It's an okay film.
Yeah.
This is just a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he had this in him, but holy crap. This is... Thank you, sir. You picked my freaking year up with this film.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great, man, because... It's an extreme look at beauty and the ugliness that surrounds it. That might be my IMDb write-up. Because you've got the new girl in town, played by Elle Fanning. What's her name again?
Jesse.
Jesse comes into town and catches the attention of everybody in town. Good and bad attention, right?
there's some seedy people in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's some seedy people.
Oh, totally. But yeah, I love the look of this film. Refn films always look beautiful, and this one was just frame after frame was just perfection. And I wanted to talk about one thing really briefly here. The film was shot by a female DP. I'm going to butcher her name, Natasha Breyer. Now, are we seeing the male gaze in this film, even though it was shot by a female?
I don't think there's a male gaze in this film.
Me neither.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Two female writers on the script, too.
Yeah, yeah. And they're beautiful girls, and they were tastefully shot. Like, at no point did I feel like they were being exploited, or I didn't feel gross while watching it. Well, maybe at certain scenes. But at no point did I feel like I was watching Spring Breakers or something outrageous like that.
Yeah, like, there's no difference between, like, the idea of... Is a movie like Blade Runner male gaze?
I never saw it that way.
There's some weird stuff in Blade Runner too, which reminded me of this film.
Oh yeah,
I had some weird Blade. I had some really weird references in this film, like the Dario Argento film Suspiria.
Okay,
It's almost like he was like taking scenes from that film.
Oh, okay,
which I thought was amazing. Yeah. Clockwork Orange.
Oh yeah,
Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
This feels like a giant greatest hits package of every film he's seen. This is the Nicholas Winding Refn Quentin Tarantino film.
Right on.
And it fucking works like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it does, man. It does. And the performances are really great in this movie, too. There's not a ton of characters, but I thought the silent MVP in this film was Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone is great in this film. You know, Elle Fanning, Jenna Malone. Bella Heathcote and Abby Lee are the main models.
Yeah.
And then you got some supporting work from the great Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
He is. Oh, dude. I haven't seen all his films, but he reached a new level for me in terms of his creepy factor.
He doesn't play characters like this.
No.
And he does it really well.
Yeah.
And Christina Hendricks shows up too.
Yeah.
She's good.
I love seeing her in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about the Nicholas Winding Refn show. This is the best shot film I've seen this year.
Right on.
It's also the best scored film I've seen this year.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap, is that score great.
Yeah.
Cliff Martinez, once again, did the really amazing Drive score too.
Yeah. He did Contagion as well. And Only God Forgives. Oh, did I just hit a sore spot again?
Yeah, Contagion. Yeah.
It's a good score, though.
Yeah, it's a good score.
But yeah, the Martinez score, I mentioned this to you earlier. I was like, you could put that score in like a 70s or 80s sci-fi movie and it would work perfectly.
Yeah.
Beautiful score. Just beautiful and haunting and creepy and beautiful and awesome. I enjoyed it.
But yeah, we're talking a lot of praise here. But let me warn you, this is not a film for kids.
Definitely not.
Or most adults.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Some really freaky, scary shit in this film.
Yeah.
Touches some subjects you might not like.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
Some really hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
It's nasty piece of work.
Yeah, there's a few scenes that come to mind right away where I'm like, okay, some people might throw up during that scene or faint or even walk out.
I'm kind of curious how he got a rating on that film.
Yeah,
there is one scene in that film involving Jenna Malone, not going to spoil it, that is pretty taboo when it comes to films.
Oh, yeah. You don't do that in movies.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got this rated, but I didn't find it offensive. Fuck it. It's rad.
Yeah.
But I love this
film. He really pushes the boundaries.
Yeah.
And what I love, another thing I love about this film is how it's a challenge to watch this film. He's kind of daring you to go on this adventure with him. And gives you a lot to talk about. You could talk about, you know, the fashion industry. You could talk about the seedy hotel motel industry. You could talk about photography. You could talk about Los Angeles. So many different things you could break down. It's not always clear what he's trying to say, but I love that. I love when it's left to the viewer to figure out.
I didn't really find too much in this film to be ambiguous. Like I was along the whole entire way.
Yeah.
Another weird, stupid thing. This was like the third movie I saw in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
That had a Sia song in the closing credits.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The Shallows.
Yeah.
Neon Demon and Finding Dory.
Oh, that's right.
Three completely different films.
That's right. Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah. Six out of five.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
This is my film, man.
Same here, dude.
Holy crap, man. Yeah. This is some good stuff.
Yeah.
See it while you can, because it's not making any money.
Yeah.
I was the only person at my screening.
That's shameful, dude.
Yeah.
This is a film that needs to be seen on the big screen with the biggest sound you could find. It's not something you want to watch on your laptop or your, 50-inch.
Don't worry, I'm still going to watch the hell of it when I get the Blu-ray.
Oh, totally. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, this movie is meant to be seen on the big screen, and we've got to support good filmmakers, man.
Yeah.
But with a caveat that it's not for everybody, and we loved it. We had a great time. Not everybody's saying the same thing, but I think it's worth checking out.
They're wrong.
I really enjoyed it.
They're wrong.
They are wrong, actually. I saw one guy going on a huge rant about what he hated about the movie. I was just like, I wanted to respond to him. You're a fucking idiot. But I didn't.
You should have.
Yeah, I should have. I have before, and it didn't go so well. So.
Once bitten, twice shy.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, man. Hell of a movie, man. Oh, that's, and the ending, dude.
Dude, they stuck that ending.
Stick in the ending, man. Yeah.
And it's got super weird closing credits that make no sense.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, man, that might be the first straight 5 out of 5 review section from Bill maybe ever on this show.
Yeah, 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I brought it down by, it could have been perfect, but I knocked half a point off Finding Dory.
Prick.
That's me, man. That's me. Yeah, sorry, dude. It'll happen one day.
Yeah.
Maybe a festival day or something.
Yeah, those are rare.
That's true. Lots of bad movies at festivals.
Yep.
Okay, so we're ready to move on to the next portion of the show and might be a blessing in disguise. The movie club Bill gave us to watch was The Thin Blue Line. I apologize if any of our listeners watched it expecting a deep discussion on this film. I attempted to watch it 3 times. Each time kept running into a snag at like the 20 minute mark and couldn't get into it.
Adrian didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I watched about 30-35 minutes of the film.
What are we going to say? yeah. Sorry you didn't like it.
Oh, I know.
It's weird when this happens. Yeah. It's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
I thought you would dig it, but don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a botched case and you found it slow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I don't even know what to say here. Like, it's like, what are we going to do? Talk about the 30 minutes you watched? Like, it seems kind of pointless.
Yeah.
I think it's a really great film.
Cool.
I'm not the only person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've heard it talked about a lot.
Yeah. I thought you would dig it. Guess you didn't.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
It's all good.
Why don't you just lightning round it?
The case of a man named Randall Adams who got arrested for quote unquote murdering a cop, shot a cop. And Errol Morris, who, when he first started, wasn't investigating the case, he was investigating a doctor in the film. A doctor who, every time he got called to court, said somebody was going to repeat as a killer 100% of the time.
Okay.
And Morris thought that was weird, but he started investigating this case and found out that everything was just botched. Like, nothing made sense. And I think past the 30-minute mark, shit starts to get really weird.
Okay, yeah.
People start taking money to testify, and there's all this weird stuff that goes on, and something happens at the end of the film, which I think is just nutty.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. It's very procedural, which you probably, this reason you found it dry.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll stick with some dramas for a while.
There you go.
I picked a drama this time.
Hey, all right.
Holy shit, did I pick a drama.
Got something crazy?
So as I'll be talking about in Lightning Round, I kind of watched a bunch of Michael Haneke films this week.
Okay, cool.
And I picked the best of them.
Oh, sweet.
Because he's a genius.
Yeah,
I know you've seen a couple.
Yeah,
because I know for a fact I was there when you saw more.
You were probably consoling me or something. Yeah,
more on that later. I finally rewatched more.
Oh Jesus!
I have some comments on that.
Oh man, okay.
But yeah, my movie club pick for this one, and I think this is a guaranteed 100%. Adrian's gonna love it film because it's that damn good.
Wicked.
Cache. 2005. Michael Haneke. Right.
Hey, cool.
It's a fucking masterpiece.
Nice.
Watch the credits.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean watch them.
Yeah.
In the background. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, cool.
It's maybe a little bit of a spoiler, but fuck you.
Yeah.
Just
watch
the credits.
All right. I will watch the credits.
Yeah.
And only the credits.
Oh, man. I freaking love that film.
Wicked.
I saw it at the Vancouver Film Festival. It was the final film I saw of 2005.
Okay.
And I've never been so energized after the ending of a film festival.
Sweet.
I was just so in love with that film.
Nice.
And I really hope you like it.
Wicked, man.
I think it's a pretty much universally praised film.
Cool.
And it's really special. So, right on. Yeah, if you don't like it, movie club's done. And, there you go.
That's right. Two strikes and you're out.
Yeah, pretty much. No, but I think you're going to love it. So,
right on, dude. Well, thanks.
I can't wait to rewatch it again.
Nice.
For a movie club.
Right on.
And I just watched it 2 days ago.
Nice.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, Cachet, if you want to follow along, watch the movie and watch it by July 10th and get your comments to us. And we're hopeful that there'll be positive comments. I had somebody who was like really keen on getting to us words about Son of Saul. And this young cinephile was all like, hey, I want to talk about that movie with you. It demands to be talked about. It must be talked about. I was like, okay, well, what do you think? Like, what are some general thoughts? He's like, no, I won't give you spoilers. I watched Son of Saul and I sent him a message and he's like, it's a dog shit movie. I was like, oh, end of discussion.
Disqualified.
That's right.
That is not a dog shit film.
I know.
Maybe the best film I've seen in the decade. So
yeah.
Fuck you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
I don't know your name, but fuck you.
Yeah. I was getting geared up for a discussion and it was just a one shot. No, thank you.
I almost wish we could have got him on the phone and patched him in just so yeah. I could have yelled at him for 20 yeah. minutes.
That's all good. I'm hopeful it's just because he looked pretty young. I'm guessing late teens, early 20s. Haven't lived life at that point.
No.
And he cool.
likes bad movies.
Maybe, yeah. maybe. So but yeah.
Cachet.
Yeah, Cachet. Watch it by July 10th. Get your comments to us for Movie Club. We'll read it on the next show. And I will watch this one for sure.
Damn right.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next part of the show. This is called the Lightning Round. This is just where we talk about other films we've seen between last episode and this episode. We just give them the Lightning Round treatment. Why don't you kick things off for us?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff, but I know you've seen some of it, so that's probably a cool idea. First film I watched was a documentary called Stretchin' Bobbito, Radio That Changed Lives, about this New York University radio station rap show during the 90s that pretty much broke every major rap star in North America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like wow. Jay-Z, Nas, everybody you can think of.
Right.
They were the first to play them.
Oh, cool.
And they were a college radio station.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a pretty cool documentary. It's all about them breaking these artists. They say that the artists they broke have sold 300 million albums.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty intense.
And pretty good movie.
It's not bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had no idea about these people and I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Cool.
Independence Day. Resurgence.
Yeah.
That it's called.
We were going to main review this.
We were going to.
Then we watched it. And we said, fuck that movie.
Yeah, you can automatically think that I'm not going to like this one because I just hate shitty action films. But sometimes, you know, these movies get Adrian. He likes a couple of these films.
Yeah, hey.
And guess what? Adrian saw it before me.
I did.
And he texted fury to me.
I did.
Just how much he hated this film. And I'm like, oh fuck, man. If he hated it, I am going to hate this film.
Yeah.
And I hated this film.
Yeah.
It's just so inept at every goddamn thing possible.
Yeah.
How is it possible that they suck this bad?
Yeah. They didn't accidentally get things right this time.
No. And they did in the first movie, just for clarification. That movie sucks.
But this Come on, worse. Will Smith. This, welcome to Earth.
This is worse.
It's way worse.
Didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the worst films of the year.
Yep.
Don't see it. Don't worry. Nobody did.
Yeah.
Did it make 50?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like a movie this big doesn't make 50 million bucks its opening weekend.
Yeah.
That's got some taint on it.
It does. But China will go to bat for that film.
Yeah, because it's, once again, there's China is in the film.
They own summer blockbusters now.
Yeah.
That's another discussion.
Yep.
What else you got?
Free State of Jones.
Oh, yeah. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Whitey Solves Racism.
Yeah. I refuse to watch this one.
Yeah. That's pretty much what this film is. It's not a terrible film, but it's also not very good either.
Like, okay.
It's just there. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, that's a beast
it's
of a film.
You know, it's just kind of unbearing. And I just didn't want to watch it anymore. I just didn't care. It's not good.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. This was McConaughey's next big role after Interstellar.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, okay.
Big decline.
Big decline. Maggie's Plan.
Hell yeah.
Maggie's Plan. Love this film.
Yep.
As we said during our Mistress America review, just keep on giving me these New York Greta Gerwig movies 2 or 3 times a year.
Oh, yeah.
I'll see every one of them, and I'll love every one of them.
Yeah.
Because they are always great.
Yeah. And she really, she shows a lot of range in this, like more range than usual, yeah, I thought.
She's not the klutz.
Right.
She's the together one.
Yeah.
It's really great. Rebecca Miller wrote and directed. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore.
Great. Julianne Moore. She rocked my world in this one. Yeah.
Bill Hader.
Yeah. Bill Hader.
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
This cast. They're all great.
They're amazing.
This movie is great.
It's a great film.
I don't know where, if it's open, like wide, but we had a chance to see this last year at the Whistler Film Festival, a festival that was so shitty, we didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they canceled it.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to have seen this during that really mediocre film festival. It would have brought my spirits up really high.
Same here, dude.
But man, well worth the wait.
Totally.
This is a gem.
It's a great film.
Yeah. The Shallows.
Blake Lively.
Think you like this one a little more better than I do.
Oh, I love this film.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Wouldn't say I loved it. Okay. I liked it.
It had so many close-ups of her boobs and her butt.
Dude, you're so transparent.
Yes!
For an 87-minute film, I thought it went on too long.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. Not to mention, the final 10 minutes of the film felt like it sped up.
Oh, really?
So much.
Yeah.
To get so much done.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
And it's like, wow. Yeah. Like, she lays on a rock for 20 minutes.
Yeah. With Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal, yeah. You'll get it if you've seen the movie.
Yeah, and that character, I'm not going to go there. But I had a blast with this film, man. Like, I really enjoyed the adventurous nature of, you know, going to this remote beach, a secret beach, surfing, and getting attacked by a shark, and you've got to survive. I thought it was a really effective survival thriller. I was able to suspend my disbelief and just have a blast with it. Like, I thought it had a lot of really good, I wouldn't say scares, but it elevated my pulse a few times.
Nice.
Just got me really excited. Maybe that centered around while she's zipping up her suit and her boobs are...
So, Adrian, do you have a crush on Blake Lively?
I do.
Jeez.
I don't like her as an actress, but she really turned things around here for me.
You really need to watch Gossip Girl, man.
Okay. I think I do. I think I will.
I thought it was a really well-made film. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
It was really bright. Everything was, like, super good looking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just sort of kind of ran out of steam.
Oh, you did.
It's a really short film.
Yeah.
It's not still not a bad film. It was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. For me, it ended on an exclamation mark, the climax of the film. I was just like, yo, this is a movie.
Wow, this is... okay.
Yeah, for me, it was like, I wouldn't rate it as high as The Gift, but the amount of excitement I felt at being surprised that I was enjoying it so much was up there with The Gift.
Wow.
Because I didn't enjoy the trailer for The Gift, and I saw the teaser for The Shallows, and I was like, oh, Blake Lively, I'll wait for Netflix. And then I read a whole bunch of positive reactions, and I watched it, and loved it.
Yeah, it's a fun film.
Yeah.
Fun film.
It's a life changer.
Central Intelligence.
Okay.
This film only works because Dwayne Johnson is really good in it.
Okay.
Kevin Hart can still fuck off.
Oh, is he just Kevin Hart all over
again? Yeah, and it's really annoying, talking high-pitched, yelling, being super stupid.
One note.
In every movie he's in. But Dwayne Johnson is great in this film.
Nice.
And it brings the film up.
Cool.
Still not the best film I've ever seen, but it's really watchable because of him.
Cool.
It's not a really high recommendation, but you could probably do a lot worse.
Right on, dude.
Yeah. It's surprisingly watchable.
Cool.
Then I watched a bunch of Michael Haneke films. I teased this earlier.
Nice, yeah.
I watched Code Unknown, which is one of his earlier films.
Okay.
With Juliette Binoche. It's super tense. I didn't remember how tense that film is. It's really good. The Criterion Blu-ray is stunning.
Sweet.
I used to have a really crappy DVD copy of it.
Yeah.
This looks like it's in 4K.
Oh, sweet.
Compared to that DVD.
Nice.
Cache.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next episode. Yeah. And then I watched more.
Oh, dude, that's hardcore.
Dude, I remember that screening so vividly. You were sitting to the side of me, mm-hmm. and some fucking lady pissed you off because she wouldn't stop talking or something.
Oh, yeah, she had her phone out.
Yeah, and you went ape shit on her.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, sit the f*** down, turn your f***ing phone off. You.
It's hilarious because you're not that guy.
I totally went like Ben Affleck on the Bill Simmons show.
Yeah. And then we watched the movie.
Yeah.
And it's so harsh.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm never going to watch that film again.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can get out of that film that will ever make me watch it again.
Yeah. I remember you saying that that night. Yeah.
So, you know what? I said, fuck it. I'm watching some Haneke films. Let's watch them more. That movie still is the most harsh film I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I will never watch that film again. I almost turned it off. I was so not into watching that film.
Yeah.
It is tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And there's a scene in the film where the husband does something to the wife.
Yeah.
And it's still the most like soul crushing thing I've seen in a film in a very long time.
Yeah.
I was just, why am I watching this? Yeah. I'm like punishing myself.
Jesus. How about that nightmare sequence? Did that still just send chills up your spine?
Yeah. I just, Haneke is a genius, man.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is just executed with perfection.
Sweet.
And he knew what he was trying to do, and he does it so well.
Yeah.
I will never watch that film again.
Yeah.
There's no more curiosity factor. Like, it's done.
Hey, why did he spend 5 minutes chasing that bird around? I want to know what happened there.
To keep our mind off the rest of the film.
You're probably right. I remember wondering that, but I was like, you know what? This is a cool scene anyway.
Yeah, it's like a 5-star film that I never want to see again.
There you go.
And that's pretty rare. And the last film I watched was The White Ribbon.
Okay.
Which was his Palme d'Or winning film. Shot in black and white, super slow. So I still really like it, but I have so many problems with it. It's glacier slow at times.
Oh, is it?
Glacier slow.
Okay.
And it's hard to keep yourself invested in it because it gets so slow.
Oh, no way.
But it's still a really good film. And that's it for Michael Haneke.
There you go.
Really hope you enjoy Cache.
Right on.
I've never seen anything like that fucking film.
Wicked,
it's going to destroy you. I can't wait.
Right on.
Club's going to be rad next time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll be here. Fuck you, Bill.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. That's it for me.
Cool, dude. Yeah, so I chimed in when I was like, yeah, I saw that movie too. I've got nothing else for Movie Club. I rewatched some stuff. I was supposed to see Central Intelligence with a friend of mine, and he's doesn't go to the movies all the time. He doesn't have the opportunity. He's a family man, so we went to see Central Intelligence. I should have told him, like, buy your ticket online ahead of time. It was actually sold out for the first Tuesday showing.
Oh, cheap Tuesday.
Yeah. So we went back to my place and watched The Invitation because he hadn't seen The Invitation. And I was just like, okay, we got to go watch The Invitation. He loved it. I loved it all over again.
Sweet.
I think I've seen that movie like 4 or 5 times by now.
And I'm sure the ending is just as powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's... That's one hell of a film.
Yep.
So yeah, had a great time revisiting The Invitation. And that's my lightning round.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Upcoming next show. This might get a little weird next show. July 1st, the BFG. No, yeah. Not the gun from Doom.
I was going to say, yeah.
The new Steven Spielberg movie. It's a kids film.
Yeah, Mark Rylance.
Yeah, I like Steven Spielberg kids films.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Heard it's really good.
I can't wait. The trailer, I didn't see until I saw it in the theaters a couple weeks ago, and I was like on the verge of tears watching the trailer.
You watch that trailer, and you know it's a Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, bring it the fuck on.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets worse.
Uh-oh.
A lot worse.
Oh, no.
The Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Which I'm
still thinking is going to probably be the biggest flop of the year.
Okay.
Who wants to see that film?
Not me.
Yeah. starring Eric from True Blood. Who cares?
That's right, yeah.
Margot Robbie, Tarzan.
Yeah.
Trailer is so bland and generic.
It looks like a Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was at first.
Yeah, it's not does not look good. And then it gets even worse. The movie Adrian and I have been talking about for a while, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
This is all on you, homeboy.
Oh, no.
The Purge, election year.
Yeah.
Are you going to see it?
I've got a crush on, what's his name
Frank
again?
Frank Grillo.
I've got a bit of a crush on him, so I may have to see it just for him.
Dude, no.
Yeah. I don't blame you, though, dude. Those movies are shit.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Yeah. I refuse. Well, maybe if the times work out. But there you go. No, I really don't want to see it. July 8th, Mike and Dave need wedding dates.
The trailer doesn't do much for me.
Zac Efron and that dude from Workaholics.
Yeah, yeah.
With Anna Kendrick and who's the other one?
What's her name? She was on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza. Yeah. Looks kind of okay.
Yeah, I'm not too jazzed on it.
Could be fun.
I'll probably see it anyway.
Yeah. Might have like a Wedding Crashers vibe to it.
Yeah.
Could be okay. And the only other film... Man, we're going to have some problems reviewing films next time.
That's right.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, yeah.
The new Illumination film.
Oh, that's right.
The guys who made Minions.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer?
I did. The teaser was awesome.
With the dogs moshing to System of a Down.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It could be okay.
It could also be really bad.
Yeah,
too.
I hope it's better than Minions.
Yeah.
And that's it, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's that time of year where there's usually just maybe one film counter-programmed or none at all because they're just like, F that, you can have this weekend.
Usually they have a really big July 4th movie for American...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Like a Michael Bay film or something.
Or Independence Day, but opened a week before it. It's weird. It's going to be a very weird show, man.
Wow. Cool.
We're going to go from 3 5-star films from Bill to... Maybe 5 combined stars.
That's right. That's awesome. So, yeah, you have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
And also, after this, maybe a couple of days after you listen to this, we will have our top films of the year thus far because we're at the halfway mark. So we're ready to talk about our top films we've watched this year.
Have I ever mentioned that my lists... are definitive.
Bill claims his lists are definitive. He does put together some pretty good lists. It could get awkward in here, though, I think.
I bet you our lists are pretty much the same.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably very, very close. But by the end of the year, though, it's a total gong show.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll try not to laugh at your list.
There you go. All right. Yeah, the very first time or second time we did that. Oh yeah, it was the last year. Yeah, I remember Bill laughed at a couple of my choices. I was like, whoa, dude, what are you doing?
I'm just an asshole. You're like,
you put The Raid 2 on there? It's like, yeah, man, I love that film. Yeah.
Yeah.
The wounds have healed.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So, yeah, I guess in closure, we better tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter.
I am. I am at SoundJam69. There's a lot of football talk on there right now.
That's right.
Most of it involves me swearing.
That's right. That's right. And the show also has a Twitter account. We're at @green_screen. You can also find us on Facebook. Just run a search at the Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you can be lucky... number 33 person to like our page on Facebook.
Nice.
And I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you can find a podcast. Just run a search for the green Screen of Death. Hit like, throw us a comment. That'll help us find a wider audience. And once again, we're just so flattered that people are still listening to our stuff.
Freaks me out, man.
Yeah. Right. So whether it's 5 or 10 or 30 people, we're happy. We do it for you. All right. So a big shout out to California. Those are the people that support us the most. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.